Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 3:33 p.m. and that is Central Time, and today is June 24th, and I thought we'd kick off with M2. And it popped on the upside in the middle of the pandemic, and then it continued rising. But putting some numbers on how quickly it's rising, I think, is rather instructive, because there is this tendency to look at the year-over-year figure and think, well, golly, the acceleration that we've had in money supply is certainly decelerating, and we've had a major peak in the first quarter of this year. Of course, that's 1 year on from the massive peak that we had in the first quarter of last year. I don't really see a lot of value in these year-over-year comparisons. I think it's much more appropriate to look at the month-over-month comparisons, because month-over-month money supply is rising by 16%, and that's a lot. And perhaps more important than that is it's faster than at any point in the last few years, and it's been sustained for a longer period of time too. So there's lots of back history to this series, and there are occasional spikes on the upside, and it's natural to think about those spikes in terms of the massive responses to periods of illiquidity. But we have to go back a while to look at levels where they are right now, and then when they trended higher. And you really have to go back to the early 1960s, where we had these periods of time where money supply trended higher. It's very isolated occasions, usually associated with these recessions that we get money supply growth in excess of 20%. But we're not that far off it right now. So we're still in a very stimulative environment. And when we start to think then about the additional point that the USA has just announced, an additional stimulus package, this time devoted to infrastructure of $550 billion, well, it answers an important question for investors. And that question is, where was the next big infusion of new liquidity going to come from? So the S&P 500 is up 24 points today and pushing on to another new high. Now, over the course of the last 3 months, new highs have not been sustained. So it's going to be a big question as to whether it can improve upon this performance. But certainly this time is a little different to the last couple of times we've seen new highs that were not sustained, in that we do have the answer to where is this new liquidity going to come from. So this is an important development. But what I found interesting is that we're still seeing that lumber prices are under pressure, and they were a limit down in here today. Copper did not rally today. Now, it has rebounded over the last couple of days, and it did pair the decline, but it wasn't up in a dynamic manner. So, and then we've also had a meaningful pullback in soybeans over the course of the last month, and particularly since that contract change. So this is certainly suggesting that there's some pressure coming out of the commodity complex. And when we look at the second month continuation chart for soybeans, it's right in the region of the trend mean. So we're also at an important area of potential support. And thinking about some of those important potential areas of support, well, there are a number of the building materials companies are right in the region of their respective trend means. So Lowe's is bouncing from the upper side of the underlying range. Home Depot had come all the way right, whoops, that's not the Home Depot price chart, this is copper. Copper has bounced, and sorry, I'm having a little bit of congestion in the typing. Then Home Depot has bounced from the region of its trend mean. It was in need of some form of catalyst to reinvigorate demand around this area, and this would appear to be it. When we think about infrastructure, well, then it usually means commodities. So Caterpillar has also bounced from the region of the trend mean as well. And we can anticipate that we're going to see additional interest coming through in all of these types of sectors. So when we think about the cement sector, then that's also likely to be beneficial. And the steel sector is also likely to benefit from additional infrastructure development. And I didn't type the right ticker there either. Sorry about that. And one thing I've certainly noticed is that when we look at these charts, we've definitely had the acceleration, and then we had these sharp pullbacks, and now we're starting to see some support coming through. So, absent that additional infusion of liquidity, it's likely that we are in the region of, we're at least in the region of medium-term peaks. But with the answer to that question, well, there's the potential that we're going to see additional upside. And of course, additional liquidity, both monetary and fiscal stimulus, well, then that's beneficial for the big liquidity-driven markets. So then we have Tesla that had rebounded into the beginning of the day and then started to give up some of that advance. And Bitcoin was also more positive today. And again, that is another big hoover for liquidity. So any time that we see a significant pop in the quantity of money being printed, then that definitely helps things like cryptocurrencies. And of course, that should put to rest any kind of decision, or excuse me, discussion about is this a safe haven asset or a risk asset. So they're definitely risk assets. Now, bond yields were a little bit stronger in here today. We did have a little bit of trading around in here today as well. I think it's important to look at the longer term chart. The exponential 200-day moving average was right in the region of where yields bottomed last week. So I think there is the potential here that we're going to see some additional upside. We're at a critical juncture because yields really haven't gone anywhere for the last few months. I was looking at the copper-gold ratio today because it's often used as a lead indicator for bond yields. And the ratio is right in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming now for a decade. And every time it's tried to get above 5.5, it has failed. So that has been true for really quite a long time already. And if we then think about this trend and just simply look at the fact that we actually have lower rally highs, and this is a higher high. So we have now broken this downtrend. Now, of course, it might yet fail and it might start coming back down again. But the reason that people look at the copper-gold ratio is simple enough. It's because copper is referred to as Dr. Copper, and it's reflective of the health of the global economy. And when copper does well, it's usually because there is infrastructure development, which is clearly stimulative, and it has a multiplying effect in terms of wages and spending that filters down through the economy and creates economic growth. And of course, depending on what that money is spent on, well, then it can have a long tail in terms of supporting growth over the long term as well. So, infrastructure tends to be the go-to stimulative effort adopted by governments just about everywhere. When copper does well, then it's about growth and prosperity. When gold does well, it's usually because the currency is being debased and because people are worried about the purchasing power of the money in their pockets. So we are in a stage where the purchasing power of money in our pockets is being threatened. And with massive money creation and stimulative efforts, which are being funded with deficits, well, then it's logical that people might think about trying to preserve the purchasing power of the money in their pockets. So gold is obviously a beneficiary from that. Now, the bigger question, of course, is that if we are in a new commodity bull market, it would be logical to anticipate that copper will outperform. And that's exactly what we had in the period up from 2001 and 2 all the way up to the peak in about 2006 for copper. So Copper outperformed in a very dynamic manner all the way through that period. And in between, or at least after that, then gold outperformed. And prior to that period, all the way through the 1990s, we had a very cyclical up a couple of years and down a couple of years rangy environment, which is very similar to what we had over the course of the decade from the lows in 2009. So, if we are back in a new commodity-led bull market, it would be logical to think that copper should do well, because all of that money flowing into infrastructure development, and when we start to think about the long tail of the renewable energy and zero emissions program, well, even if they spend a fraction of the 100 trillion that is required to decarbonize the global economy, we're still talking about massive infrastructure development in terms of mining. And that has just not occurred yet, and it represents a long sequence of higher highs in terms of demand for resources. So it would be quite logical that copper is going to be volatile. It's a commodity, and they just tend to be more volatile. And we've had a shakeout, and maybe that shakeout hasn't quite ended yet. Maybe China will release even more supply from their stockpiles. But again, that's a short-term consideration because China is not a major producer of copper, and producers do not influence the price overall. Of course, China is a major processor of raw copper. So they do have some pricing power, but it's not nearly as much as the main producers. So I do think that this looks like a consolidation, and there is the potential that copper can outperform. That does not mean that gold has to go down. It simply means that copper will rise faster. And both copper and gold pulled back over the last while, and gold was weaker in here today. Now, it's been pretty stable over the last 5 days, but after a big pullback like we saw last week, it would be very comforting to see a clear upward dynamic, and we have not seen that. So there is the potential that we're going to see additional downside here, and there'll be an attempt by the bears to try and push it down to new lows. Because the consistency of the downtrend has been that it has found support at $100 increments, each lower than the last. So the bears will be looking for gold to fall to $1,600. If we are back in a demand-dominated environment, then it will find support above or in the region of 1,700. And if that's the case, well, we're not all that far away from it. So eventually, we're going to start to see that people will pay attention to the fact that we do have negative real interest rates. They may not quite be as negative as we had last year, but the Federal Reserve has absolutely no intention of raising interest rates, and they are not going to do so until they have clear evidence that we're back in an inflationary environment overall, and that inflationary pressures are rising and trending, and that unemployment has come down to more acceptable levels. And all of that would suggest that there's a lot more money to be printed. So it would suggest that there is going to be a fear about the purchasing power of the currency over the medium term. But with other commodities starting to come back down, and with the supply pressure in semiconductors moderating, well, inflation might surprise on the downside over the next couple of months, and that could contribute to additional weakness in the gold price. Because if people are less worried about inflation, and then they're not going to be in as much of a hurry to buy gold. So that is a consideration. The one thing that is, I think, also relevant here is how the dollar is performing. So it was pretty much unchanged in here today. Europe just does not want a strong currency. and they are willing to do whatever it takes to ensure that the euro does not break above the 122 level. So we are in a position of competitive currency devaluation. So I do think that gold may be susceptible to additional downside in the short term, but then it will present a buying opportunity. And the renminbi did strengthen up a little bit in here today. The UK is start or the Bank of England is starting to repeat some of the same terminology as the Federal Reserve and referring to inflation as transitory. And the pound was a little softer in here today, but I think that it is more likely than not that the pound will outperform the dollar over the medium term and not just over the short term. Thought it was interesting in here today that the AIM index, the all share AIM, is now right in the region of the upper side of its base formation, and it has broken out. So it's just now consolidating in the region of the peak from back in 2006. And this also coincides with the upper side of the range that persisted before the mania in 1999. So we're at an interesting place for small caps in the UK. The FTSE 100 is a very defensive index, and it's loaded with miners and energy companies and consumer companies overall. And it was in positive territory in here today, and European stock markets generally were able to bounce back from the weakness that we saw yesterday and remain in on an upward bias overall. When we think about emerging Europe, then we're still seeing a rangy environment overall. And this is similar to the kind of long range we have in China, where the H-share index has been ranging for more than a decade. And we do have at least some evidence of support starting to come through, but it's a trendless environment overall. European equities have been doing well because they thrive in an environment where global growth does well. The DAX index is outperforming, and mid caps just about everywhere are outperforming large caps. So that's certainly true in Germany, and it's also true in the UK with the FTSE 250. But one thing that I think is clear is we have to look rather hard for markets that are not trending higher. The vast majority of global indices are pushing on the upside, and they're either breaking out of long-term ranges or they're testing areas of previous resistance. So Saudi Arabia is another one of these indices that's been going sideways for more than a decade and is now testing the previous peaks where resistance has been encountered. The one thing that we're definitely seeing is that despite the fact that some commodities are pulling back, oil prices remain quite firm, and it's hard to imagine that you're going to have a big global economic recovery without oil prices, or at least demand for oil starting to recover. Of course, this is also an artificial bull market because OPEC are withholding a great deal of supply from the market. So whenever that comes back into the market, prices will moderate, but for the moment, they are still pushing on the upside. And natural gas was also quite firm in here today. So starting to push up and out of this range now that has persisted for more than 6 months already. We've had some weakness coming through in most of the agricultural resources, and particularly the grains and beans have paused. But Robusta coffee is pushing up and out of its range, and this looks like a base formation completion. So it is beginning to play a little bit of catch up with the Arabica price, which is consolidating and potentially now putting in a first step above the base. So we're in an environment where we still have a lot of liquidity, and we're seeing an increasing number of markets breaking higher. And the kinds of things that people were worried about as causing inflation, well, those sorts of issues are starting to moderate. But the other factors that have gained less attention, about inflation, well, those continue to be rather relevant. So we still have factory prices and wages rising in China, and we still have this shortage of shipping containers and indeed ships, and that's also a factor that is going to contribute to inflationary pressures. So if wages rise everywhere and shipping rates rise everywhere, and the tax burden and the cost of doing business rises, whether that's because of tariffs or because of carbon taxes, well, all of that contributes to a less efficient market, and inefficient markets contribute to higher prices. So all of these factors, those are going to contribute to inflation, but perhaps not right away. So we do have this risk that inflation will undershoot in the short term and then ramp up higher in the third and fourth quarters. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.